Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the 29th day of Tevis, Tavshin Pei Dalet, Masechta Ksubas, Perek Shlishi, Mishnah Tes. This Mishnah is based on the halacha of Moida Biknas Potter. If a person owns up to an activity which is punishable by a penalty, i.e. the monetary penalty does not match the damages that he's done, then it's more than that, for example, then we say that he is exempt if he owns up first. However, when it comes to Beis Din, and he says, Petisius Peter shall Pliny, I seduced the daughter of Yankel, of Pliny, of some man, and he's believed, even though he causes her a loss in value or reputation. And it goes without saying, if he says, I raped a daughter of Yankel, then for sure he's believed, because he doesn't ruin her reputation, because it's no fault of her. In these cases, if he owns up, Meshalim Boshesuf Gamal Piatzme, he must pay for the restitution of damages for, or compensation for embarrassment and pagam, and for loss in value. Why? These are not knas. These are momen. These are monetary payments, and they match the damage caused. But Veinu Meshalim Knas, he will not pay the knas, the penalty part of which the Torah says has to be paid in the case of an onus, or the case of the mafat if he doesn't marry her, and that namely the 50 silver coins, the 50 silver shkolim. That's because Moida Biknas is potter. Where do we know this from? This idea that if you own up, you don't have to pay the penalty or a knas. This is learned from a pasuk in Mishpatim, where it says, when it talks about paying double, which is a knas, of course, paying kefil is always a knas, asher yarshiun Elohim yishalem shnayim l'rayu, which the Beis Din will condemn him, he has to pay double to his friend. From which the rabbis learned, asher yarshiun Elohim, if the Beis Din condemn him, not if he condemns himself, i.e. only if he owns up himself, and that's why the payment is due, then he doesn't have to pay it. But that's only by knas. However, a person who says, Ganavti v'tabachti umacharti, I stole someone's animal, I slaughtered it, or I sold it. And the Torah talks about payment for such an activity, such an action. It'll have to be double for the gneva, that's kefil. Four or five, if it's an ox or a sheep, pays five times the value if it was an ox, or four times the value of the lamb if it was a sheep. And this is, of course, all of these payments, apart from the principal, is a knas, is a penalty. So, once again, Meshalem Esakan al Piatzma, he will pay the actual value of the item itself, the principal, on his own, like a person who ends up to owing money, you pay it, that's momen, it's monetary payment. Ve'einu Meshalem Tashlum Kefil, V'Tashlum Arba V'Chamisha. He does not pay for the kefil, the double, or the four and five times the value, because that is a knas, that's a penalty. And that Moida Biknas is potter. One who says to Beis Din, Hamis Shoiris Pliny, my ox killed that man, and I know I have to pay koifer, because there's a Torah says, when a person's ox kills a man or a woman, he has to pay koifer. The Beis Din have to work out how much he would be worth on the market as an employee, as a slave, and that's how much he has to pay. Or he says, Shoiris Pliny, he says, not my ox, but he says, my ox killed an ox belonging to Yankel, and therefore I'm going to pay for the damages. As the Torah says, Shalom Yishalom Shartachso, he shall pay an ox for an ox. So in these cases, because the payment is of the nature of a monetary payment, Momonus, Harizem Mishalom Piatzma, he will have to pay based on his own admission. However, if he says, my ox killed the Eved Kanani, the non-Jewish Kanani Eved, the non-Jewish Eved of someone else. Well, there the Torah says the punishment is an arbitrary figure of 30 shkolin that he has to pay to the owners. That, Eino Meshalma Piatzbay, that he will not pay in his own admission, that's a knas. Because the 30 shkolin is an arbitrary figure and has got nothing to do with the actual value of the Eved Kanani that was killed. Zaklal, this is the rule when it comes to knas penalty. Kol hamashalim yoser al mashehizik, whenever a person is paying, or the amount that is due is more than the damages, such as kefel, the extra amount that you pay for the double amount, or at Tashlama Bova Chamisha, paying 4 or 5, which means the other 3 times or four times the value. Or in the case where an ox kills an Eved Kanani, where it's only the Eved might only be worth the seller, and he has to pay 30 shlam, because the Torah says you have to pay it as a knas. In all these cases, Eino Meshalam Upiatzma, he will not pay it on his own admission, Hamoida Biknas is Potter. The Gemara says that really, when there is a knas, and you're paying less than what he caused the damage, they also, you won't be liable if you admit it. Such as, for example, a shortam, an ox that does something irregular and it hasn't done it 3 times, it hasn't been warned, then he pays only half the damages. That's also a knas because the payment does not match the damages. So why did the Mishnah only say a case where you're paying more, or when the amount due is more than the damage? And the answer is because when it comes to paying less than the damages, not always will it be a knas. There is, for example, the famous case of Chatzi Nezek Tzroros. Chatzi Nezek Tzroros means a case where an animal causes damage by, for example, walking along the road and pebbles spring out from her feet and smash some glass kalim on the side or pottery on the side, where there the owner of the animal has to pay half Nezek. Why half Nezek? That's the Torah says you have to do that. That's a special din, Alpi Kabbalah, I should say. It comes tradition. And the Kabbalah of tradition is that not only is the payment half Nezek, but part of the tradition is that it's considered momen. It's considered in the category of a monetary payment, even though technically it looks like it bears the hallmarks of being a knas. That's the way the Kabbalah comes down. And because therefore there is not an all embracing law about paying less than the damage being a knas, the Mishnah didn't want to get into the detail. But anachrami, the truth is that if it is, for example, a shortam, which is not surah, it's not involving pebbles, and it's one's ox calls someone else for the first time or second or third time, then it will be. That is kanas, and a person would be exempt if he owns up. Perek Revi, Mishnah Aleph, fourth Perek of Ksubas. Our Mishnah is going to talk about the rights of a father in payments that are due in the case of a seduction or a rape. Nara Shenispatza, a woman, a Nara who was seduced, and now the seducer has to pay damages. Boshto Ufgama, then the money for her embarrassment suffered, the money for the pagam, loss in value suffered, uknosa, and also the penalty, that's the 50 shekelim, shalavio, goes to the father. The father has all rights to those things, but that's providing that the court case took place when she was still a nara, and the court awarded these things for her. Father gets it. Vahatsar bitfusa. And in addition, when there is payment for tsar, for the pain suffered, that goes in tfusa. Tfusa means a case of a lady who was taken by force. The Mishnah uses the word that the Torah uses, or sfosa, when a man grabs a woman against her will. And that's in addition to payment for the embarrassment and pagam and kanas, which we just said in the case of the seducted woman. So that goes also to the father. Now the Mishnah brings variations of this law. Omda Badin. What happens if she stood in court with the person, with the seducer or the onus, claiming her damages, Ad Shalom Esav, before the father died, then Harehen Shalav. Then these payments belong to the father, as we said just before. However, Mesav, if the father died, when after she stood in court and the court awarded these monies, Harihen Shalachin, then they go to her brothers, but not to her. Why? Because the brothers are Yerusha father. They inherit the father. The father was Zoicha to these monies as soon as the court declared the onus or the obligation to pay. Now, even though he died, it goes now as a Yerusha to the children. Because he was already entitled to those payments. However, if she didn't get a chance to stand up in court before the father died, then she keeps it. The woman who's been the victim of a seduction or a rape, she will keep the money herself. Why? Because before she stood in court, the father wasn't zoiche, wasn't entitled to the payments. They're not his money. They're not his entitlements to pass on to his children. He was not yet entitled to them. Some Mefarshim learn that this only applies to knas, only applies to the penalty that was awarded after he died. But the boishes and the fagam, the payment for payment for the embarrassment or fagam, or the loss in value, are mominous, and the father is zoicha even before she stood in court, and he can pass them on inheritance to the children, and that's Rashi, based on the way the Miri understands it, and the Ramban as well. So there seems to be machlokes about the monetary obligations even before the court has declared them, whether the father has them or not. With the knas, clearly the father is not entitled to it if he died before the court awarded them. Omda badin. Now, what happens if she stood up in court with the seducer or with the rapist in the life of the father, when the father was alive, ad shaloi bogra, before she became a bagaris, before she be insured. Harehen shalav, then they belong to the father. The tashlumin, the payment goes to the father. Mesa av, if the father died after she stood in court, harehen shalachin, they will go to the brothers, as we said before, because the father was already entitled to the payments. So therefore they go in Yerusha, as Yerusha to the children. Lohi spika lamed badin, but if she didn't get a chance to stand in court, ad shebogro, until she became a bagaris, before she got mature. And the same law would apply if she got married before she stood in court. Haren shalatzma, then she keeps it herself. Why? Because once a girl becomes a bagaris, which is 6 months after she's attained at maturity of an ara, or if she got married, these events will take her out of the jurisdiction of her father. The father has no rights anymore over her. And anything she's awarded will go straight to her, not to him, even though he's alive. Rabbi Shimon says, Imlo hispiko ligbos ad shmeisa av, if she didn't get a chance to collect the money until the father died, even though she stood in court while the father was alive, and the court might have awarded it, but if she didn't get a chance to collect it, if the father died before she collected, Hare Hein Shalatzma, she will keep the money. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that even if she stood in court and the court awarded these monies, the father is not zoicha to pass them on as inheritance to his children unless he actually has it in his hot hand. He has to have it in his hand. And Rabbi Shimon learns this because the Pasuk says, V'nosan ha'ish ha'shoichev ima, the man who slept with her shall give the father of the Nara 50 kesef. The Torah is therefore only entitling the father to the money from the time of giving, when he's actually got it in his hand, then it's called his. The halacha, however, is not like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like the Tanakama, and that is, as long as it's been awarded in court, it's as good as being in the hand, and he will pass it on inheritance to his children. To it, the sons. Masa yodeho, whatever's produced or manufactured by the Nara, in the life of her father, again, she's before she's reached the age of 12 and a half, before she's had 6 months pass since her maturity, umitziosa, or if she finds something, she finds a mitzi in the life of the father, avalbishala gobsa, even though she didn't collect it, she hasn't collected the money for her activities, but she's done the work, that's already considered the money of the father. And therefore, Mesa Ab, if the father died, and let's say she's earned $1,000 for work she's done, that $1,000 gets passed on inheritance to her brothers, not to her. Harihein shel achin. Why? Because since the father was already zoichin that money, he can pass that inheritance to his children. Now, the Gemara explains that the Mishnah mentions a case of finding mitziyosa, even though really you don't collect a mitziyah. You collect debts, you don't collect a mitziyah. It's to tell us that what she produces is like what she finds. Just like what she finds in the lifetime of the father will belong to the father. So also, and what she finds after the father dies is her own, because the brothers have no rights to it. The same thing with her work. Any work that she's done, While the father's alive, father's entitled to the payments for that. Anything after the father died belongs to her, and the brothers have no rights to it.